Good afternoon. It's 47 degrees in Richland Center at 1207. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. For several years during the existence of the UW-Platteville Richland campus, the Richland School District was allowed to use the campus gymnasium and adjoining fields for its use. Since the UW system rescinded its presence at the campus, the school district has been working with Richland County to establish a way to continue to use these facilities. It was reported at last night's Richland School Board meeting that the district recently received a memorandum of understanding from County Attorney Michael Windell for review. The Board of Education approved the MOU, which is similar to previous MOUs with the campus. Respective leaders from both the Richland School District and Richland County will sign the MOU, thereby making it effective. Brian Jones, Director of Operations and Maintenance for the Richland School District, gave an update to the board on the concession stand fire at the sports complex. The insurance adjuster told the district it is not likely that the building will be completely repaired and available for the spring athletic seasons. Alternative plans will be discussed and made for water, electricity, storage, bathrooms, and concessions. Sean Josem provided a brief overview of the district's special education, covering key topics such as important acronyms, the differences between IEPs and 504 plans, and the district's special education demographics. The report also highlighted the work of special education staff and celebrated students' recent academic achievements. Education consultant Brittany Kinzer is moving on to April's general election following last week's second-place primary finish for state superintendent of public instruction. On a call with reporters, Kinzer said standards have been lowered under incumbent Jill Underley. Underley has defended the changes made to DPI test standards. Incumbent Jill Underley says she remains committed to advocating for better local public schools so every child can get the best education. The two will be on the April 1st ballot. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is proposing a new office to oversee the Wisconsin Department of Corrections in his budget. $2 million of his proposed two-year budget would be used to create an 11-person ombudsperson's office. The office would be tasked with investigating complaints about the status of corrections facilities, as well as instances of abuse, unfair acts, or violations of rights. Prison reform activists have repeatedly called for such an office, but some Republican lawmakers have pushed back on its potential structure. As a measles outbreak continues to grow in Texas, health officials are warning that Wisconsin children have one of the worst measles vaccination rates in the country. According to the Department of Health Services, only about 85% of Wisconsin kindergartners have gotten both doses of the measles vaccine. That is the second lowest percentage in the country, with Alaska as the only state ranked lower. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of her colleagues introduced the Safe and Affordable Drugs from Canada Act, which would allow Americans to safely import prescription drugs from Canada, lowering cost, increasing access for consumers, and creating more competition in the pharmaceutical market. Senator Baldwin has long championed bringing down prescription drug costs. In August 2022, she helped pass the Inflation Reduction Act to lower health care and prescription drug costs for older adults, people with disabilities, and families across the nation. Starting in January 2023, the IRA capped the cost of insulin for Medicare Part D beneficiaries at $35 a month for certain covered insulin products. The Baldwin-backed IRA also empowered Medicare to negotiate for lower drug prices with 25 drugs that treat diabetes, cancers, and asthma, currently under negotiation with more to come. The cost savings for the first 10 drugs will go into effect in 2026 and is estimated to save taxpayers $6 billion a year. Senator Baldwin also launched an investigation into the extremely high prices four large pharmaceutical companies charge for inhalers that 25 million Americans with asthma and 16 million Americans with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease rely on to breathe. In just 2 months after the investigation was launched, three of the four pharmaceutical companies capped their out-of-pocket cost for their inhaler products at $35 per month in the United States. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says there's no hidden agenda behind striking words, including mother and father, out of his proposed state budget and replacing with gender-neutral language. Evers says it's about legal protections for those using procedures like IVF to start a family.
Moms are moms, dads are dads, and what we want is legal certainty that moms are able to get the care they need. That's it. End of story.
The National Republican Governors Association called out the Democratic governor last weekend for using terms like parent and inseminated person in the budget bill.
It's mainly Republicans looking for an advantage during the time when they're under attack. That's what I think. That's their problem, not mine.
During a stop in Wausau this week, Evers said he's open to putting IVF protections in a standalone bill if it will get them passed. A spokesperson for the governor said similar bills have been introduced in the past but failed to advance. A Northeast Wisconsin representative is supporting legislation that will allow clerks and election officials to process absentee ballots the day before the election. Civic Media's Lisa Hale reports.
Ahmad Rivera Wagner of Green Bay said the bill attempts to make things easier and faster on Election Day.
I am very hopeful that there is bipartisan support for clerks to process absentee ballots, process, not count them early, which will take hours off of central count processes, allowing us to have early nights on Election Day versus them being late in the morning because of the amount of both Republicans and Democrats voting absentee ballot now.
Rivera Wagner said it can take over 4 hours just to open envelopes containing absentee ballots, which leads to long nights and late returns.
Two bills were proposed in the Wisconsin State Legislature last week, one to limit the ability of local governments to restrict residents from having vegetable gardens and chicken flocks. If passed into law, the chicken-related bill would force local governments to allow homes to keep less than 5 chickens or quails. But local governments can't require permits for the birds. The garden-related bill would stop local governments from not allowing or needing permits for vegetable or flower gardens. There's an error in one of the first ads in the state Supreme Court race after Elon Musk Group got involved. He's the major donor behind Building America's Future, which will spend $1.6 million to support conservative Brad Schimmel over liberal Susan Crawford. One of their first ads says Susan Crawford is wrong for Wisconsin with a photo of her. But there's one problem. It's the wrong Susan Crawford. The one included in the ad is a law professor at Harvard, and when you look up Susan Crawford on Wikipedia and you end up on the professor's page, you find that exact photo. Crawford's campaign called it shameful and a fraud and said, quote, "Wisconsinites shouldn't trust a single thing from these guys." That comes after another ad issue a few weeks ago when the Schimmel campaign ran a spot with an edited photo of Susan Crawford that basically turned her smile into a scowl. The federal cuts have hit Wisconsin. President Trump created the Department of Government Efficiency and put billionaire Elon Musk in charge of shrinking the federal government. Researchers and journalists have been working to figure out just how many people have been fired and where because this new office hasn't released that information. Madison is home to as many as 5,800 federal employees. Now we're learning people were laid off at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Madison. One former staffer told the Capital Times it was probably about 28 people from the USDA. The people fired say ending their research and programs could have an impact on Wisconsin's farmers. As much as 10% of the staff from the U.S. Forest Service has also been fired. That includes at least 5 people at the U.S. Forest Products Laboratory, which is in Madison, off University Avenue. And the Veterans Affairs Hospital has confirmed they lost a small number of employees. Meanwhile, the Department of Government Efficiency is looking to close or consolidate 4 federal offices in Wisconsin. That's according to the department's website. It includes the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service office on Madison's west side. Its lease is $58,000 a year, and Musk's team wants to close it. They'd also close an office of the Defense Contract Management Agency in Merrill, saving about $6,000 annually. They also want to consolidate a Department of Defense office in Milwaukee and a Social Security Administration office in Green Bay. In Madison, a Democratic lawmaker proposes legislation giving farmers the right to repair their equipment. State Senator Brad Paff says farmers are currently prohibited from making repairs or having local shops do the work on tractors and combines they purchase. He's seeking bipartisan sponsors for the bill. Paff says it allows the owner of that farm equipment to be able to repair that farm equipment while also protecting the intellectual property of manufacturers. Attorney General Josh Call recently added the state of Wisconsin to a lawsuit against Deere and Company related to the right to repair. You might be seeing some advice or tricks online on how to beat your taxes, but don't believe everything you see. IRS spokesman Christopher Miller says there are no magic steps around not paying your taxes, and that filling out strange tax forms or signing documents and sending them to random places is a good way to get yourself scammed or to have your tax refund stolen. You can find out about filing your taxes and then file for free online at irs.gov. A recent study by WalletHub found that Wisconsin homeowners pay some of the highest real estate property taxes in the country. Civic Media's Brittany Merlo tells us more.
The study says Wisconsin ranked 8th in the nation for the highest taxes despite having the 20th lowest median home value. Wisconsin residents pay nearly $4,600 in annual taxes for a median home value, which is significantly more than the national average of about $3,000 per year. Illinois was the only Midwest state to rank higher on the list, paying a median home average of nearly $6,800 per year.
This is Public Schools Week, a time to honor the dedication and hard work of students and teachers. Public education equips students with the ability to think critically, foster growth, drive innovation, and actively contribute to their communities. Public schools are the foundation of communities and provide every child, regardless of their background or circumstances, the opportunity to learn, grow, and succeed. Teachers have an unwavering commitment and go above and beyond to inspire, challenge, and nurture their students. Students demonstrate resilience, perseverance, and a passion for learning. Together, they embody the power of public education to transform lives and build a stronger world for all. State School Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley says this is a pivotal moment for public schools where the actions we take now will determine the future of our children and the strength of our communities. Wisconsin schools have faced the challenge of underfunding and insufficient resources. The public education system has been under financial pressure, impacting the learning environment for every student and teacher. This struggle is felt in every corner of Wisconsin. The chronic underfunding of education in the state has reached a critical point, and it's time for change. Governor Tony Evers' recent budget proposal incorporates many of Underley's recommendations and allocates more than $3 billion for public schools and libraries. This investment is aimed at areas such as mental health, food security, and expanded academic opportunities. Underley says by prioritizing mental health services, schools can provide students with the support to navigate the challenges they face. Addressing food insecurity and providing universal free meals to students ensures that no child is learning on an empty stomach. Increasing the special education reimbursement rate and boosting funding for academic programs allows for more resources, specialized teachers, and enrichment opportunities. She adds that passing this budget proposal is a positive step, but it must be recognized that it's only the start of addressing the challenges schools are facing. Several area school districts are again offering early childhood and 4K screenings. These screenings help identify early learning strengths, delays, or difficulties in children and provide valuable insight into key developmental areas, helping teachers tailor instruction to meet a student's needs. Upcoming area school districts offering early childhood and 4K screenings include the Richland Center School District. Amy Hardy is the Richland Center Primary School Principal.
Families do need to register ahead of time. They can register online right on our website, or we have various flyers that will be around the community. Otherwise, they can even call the office at the primary school, the 649-HIVE or 4483. Our screening goes from 8 in the morning until 1:30. But what that really means is that there's times available at 8, 9:30, 12, and then 1:30. Screening registration is the 26th of February through Thursday, the 27th of March. And at 10 a.m. is when we'll close the registration in that capacity. If after that you're like, oh, I missed that window, definitely call school and we'll do our best to make arrangements.
The Richland School District Early Childhood and 4K Screening Registration runs from February 26th through March 27th. Screens are available for all children turning 4 before September 1st and for children turning 3 before September 1st that may have developmental concerns. Screening appointments are available April 7th through 11th from 8 to 1:30 at the Richland Center Primary School. A parent or guardian will need to attend with their child. Screenings take approximately 90 minutes. To schedule a Richland School District Early Childhood and 4K screen, register from February 26th through March 27th at 608-649-4483. The Riverdale School District will hold its 4K screenings next week. Hillary Layla is an early childhood teacher with the Riverdale Elementary School.
We are looking for students who will be 4 years old by September 1st. We're also looking at students who will be eligible to attend 5K and who did not attend 4K this year. So that's usually not a lot of our kiddos that go through screening, but just in case there are any out there who have not gone to 4K, we would want to look at them, just make sure that they're off on the right foot as well. And then we're also looking at if some parents out there have concerns about kids who will be 3 by September 1st. They might have concerns in various areas of development like speech and language, social, behavioral, gross motor skills, fine motor skills. So if there are any parents who have concerns in those areas, we encourage them to reach out to the school district as well.
The Riverdale screenings will be offered on Tuesday, March 4th. Registration is now open for Riverdale's March 4th screenings by contacting Sarah at 608-739-3101. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets to help build up the blood supply. People of all blood types are encouraged to make and keep their donation appointments so hospitals can continue to ensure critical care for patients. A blood drive will be held Wednesday from 10:45 to 4:45 at Wisconsin Dells High School. To book a time to give blood or platelets, use the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visit redcrossblood.org, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Professional snowshoers are coming to Wisconsin to compete. Here's Lisa Hale with more.
A Northeast Wisconsin Recreation Center known for its cross-country skiing trails, biathlon events, and training facilities will host the 2025 World Snowshoe Championships, the U.S. Snowshoe Championships, and the Open Championships starting February 27th through March 2nd. Aaron's Nordic Center in Brilliant expects the event to boost local tourism with an influx of visitors competing for a prize purse of over $16,000. Aaron's Nordic Center has state-of-the-art snowmaking capabilities that make it perfect for cross-country skiing, biathlons, snowshoeing, and more.
The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is looking for high school juniors to serve on the Ag Youth Council. DATCAP Secretary Randy Romansky says they're looking for applicants from all over the state and from different backgrounds. Members of the council will meet virtually once a month to listen to presentations, engage in discussions, and connect with professionals in the ag industry. Interested high school juniors can find more information by visiting DATCAP's website. The Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County will be holding several upcoming community events focused on strengthening families, supporting youth, and addressing key challenges such as screen time and tobacco use. P4P will be holding community focus groups at the Pratt Community Hall on Monday nights, March 3rd, 10th, and 17th from 6:30 to 7:30. These discussions will allow community members to share insights about youth substance use, community concerns, and potential solutions. The feedback gathered will help shape future initiatives and programming. Registration is required by calling 608-647-6131, extension 1516, by this Friday, February 28th. Participants will receive a $50 gas card. Another program offered will be the Strengthening Families Program, a free 7-week series designed for parents and caregivers with youth ages 10 to 14. Participants will learn strategies to improve family communication, manage emotions, set goals, and foster stronger relationships. Sessions take place on Wednesdays from March 12th through April 30th at the Richland Center Intermediate School, with a free meal provided and served from 5:30 to 6 by local civic organizations. The program will run from 5:45 to 8 each evening. Registration is required by calling Lisa Goff, Richland School District School Psychologist, at 608-649-HIVE. Whether it's learning strategies for stronger families, joining community conversations, or supporting youth voices in tobacco prevention, there are many ways to get involved with Partners for Prevention. For more information on P4P opportunities, call Program Director Betsy Raisler at 608-647-6131, extension 1516. The Driftless Writing Center will host an in-person reading by novelist Emily Gray Trudeau Friday at 7 at the Commons in Viroqua. Trudeau will also lead an in-person workshop Saturday from 10 to noon at the Vernon County Museum and History Center in Viroqua, titled Page Turner, Building Narrative Momentum in Your Writing. Emily Gray Trudeau is the author of three novels, The Talented Miss Farwell, Blue Stars, and Commuters. The free public reading Friday will be followed by a community open mic. Anyone wishing to read during the open mic portion should register in advance by sending an email to driftlesswritingcenter@gmail.com with the subject line open mic and bring a maximum of 5 minutes of writing to share. In Saturday's workshop, attendees will be led in building the quality narrative momentum into fiction or nonfiction to help achieve that I just couldn't put it down reading quality. In-class writing exercises, as well as discussion of text, will give participants the chance to understand and practice how page-turners become reality. Participants should bring a notebook or laptop and look forward to gaining momentum together. The limited attendance workshop is open to writers of all levels. The DWC offers sliding scale tuition. Scholarships are also available. The registration form for the workshop can be found on the Driftless Writing Center's website, driftlesswritingcenter.org, or email the DWC for more information at driftlesswritingcenter@gmail.com or call 608-492-1669. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds ice anglers of the deadlines to remove permanent ice shanties, or those that aren't removed daily, on inland and boundary waters. Ice shanties must be removed from state waters by various dates. Details on when all shanties need to be removed are in the Guide to Wisconsin's 2024-25 Hook and Line Fishing Regulations. Portable ice shanties can still be used after the dates, so long as they are removed from the ice when they are not actively in use. If you need help removing your shanty, contact local fishing clubs, vendors, and other anglers. Owners who don't take responsibility for removing their shanty should be reported to the DNR Violation Hotline by calling or texting 1-800-TIP-WNDR or 1-800-847-9367. As a reminder, no ice is 100% safe. Ice anglers should check with local fishing clubs and bait shops for current ice conditions before removing their shanties, as the DNR does not monitor ice conditions. Today's winner of $50 in the Richland Center Booster Club calendar raffle is Brenda and Chad Hobbs on ticket number 197.